BlackGeo.com on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government printed currency is not. Call Melody Cedarstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call. 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Once again to another edition of what I call American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. It is the 23rd of February, 2005. Oh, boy. Where do we begin at this late date of 2005, February 23rd? We have lots going on. Darren has done a superlative job with what he's doing. The new website for Melody Cedarstrom is up on the website, AmericanExpose.com. Melody Cedarstrom, the major supporter of this network, at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. I intend on this being a long relationship with us, Melody and myself, in our endeavors to wake up this country and to support your needs in the future. You've got to have something backing up what you have, if at all possible. And certainly that is very, very important. To start out this broadcast, and I see here, Minutemen to patrol Arizona border. Thank you, Dennis. Intent on securing the vulnerable Arizona border from illegal immigrant crossings, U.S. officials are bracing for what they call a potential new threat this spring, the Minutemen. I've talked about this for years, listeners. I've talked about this Hegelian dialectic at the border for years. Most people don't have a clue about Border 21, part of Agenda 21. the international boundary with no borders. 62.5 miles on the Mexican side, 150 miles on this side of the border. The beginning of the elimination of the border between Mexico and the U.S. Border 21. They don't talk about this. Our government representatives don't talk about this. People don't have a clue about the U.N. system that's being injected into us. But I keep talking about it on a daily basis and document where I go all the time. According to this information from the Associated Press, apparently, nearly 500 volunteers have already joined the Minuteman Project, adjoining themselves civilian Border Patrol agents determined to stop the immigration flow that routinely and easily seeps past federal authorities. They plan to patrol a 40-mile stretch of the southeast Arizona border throughout April, when the tide of immigrants crossings the U.S.-Mexico border peaks. Quote, I felt the only way to get something done was to do it myself or yourself, end quote, said Jim Gilchrist, a retired accountant and decorated Vietnam War veteran who is helping recruit Minutemen across the country. This is exactly what the U.N. system wants. They want a dispute at the border so they can come in with the conclusion of that dispute, with the remedy. Could it be NATO at the border breaking up the skirmishes between the two sides? You better believe it will be an armed conflict down the road. It will be a Hegelian setup that's being engineered for us. Quote, we've been repeatedly accused of being people who are taking the law into our own hands, end quote, said Gilchrist, 56, of Las Viejo, California. Quote, this is an outright bogus statement. We are going down there to assist law enforcement, end quote. Since when has this ever worked, listeners? Officials concede the 370-mile Arizona border is the most porous stretch on the U.S.-Mexico line. Moreover, recent intelligence shows that Al-Qaeda terrorists are likely to enter the country through the Mexico border. James Loy, the Deputy Secretary of the Homeland Security Department, said last week, interesting to think that Al-Qaeda is going to be the terrorists that are going to be next hitting our country, as we've had Hegelian setups for entire conflicts of the 21st century. This 9/11 scenario is full of holes. Even popular mechanics doesn't do a very good job of covering up the mess of 9/11. And those of you that subscribe to it already have that. Those of you that have to wait until it comes on the newsstands, apparently you have to wait till March. I don't know what to say about that. Be sure to get Popular Mechanics, the March issue, which has the scenario of 9/11. The wreckage at the Pentagon does not make any sense at all. They're covering up something that happened, more than likely a drone aircraft painted like an airliner or something. How do I know? All I know is for every banking conflict that has been engineered from the sinking of the Maine to get us to the Philippines and the sinking of the Maine, the first global conflict that we ever entered into, to the sinking of the Lusitania to ultimately get us into World War I, to Pearl Harbor, most documentation abounds about the fact that Roosevelt and his administration knew. Well, I don't know whether his administration knew, but certainly Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, knew and had to have the Japanese attack us to galvanize our country to fight World War II. Think of how many men and women died in the Second World War to bring about the United Nations system, which was actually formed on January 1st, 1942. The UN system formed on January 1st, 1942. Henceforth, those people in July of 1945 talking in the Senate and Congress about not ratifying into the UN system were going on deaf ears because it would have been a done deal. It's been a done deal. It's been set long in advance into the Second World War. The Soviet Union was the big winners of the Second World War. We have a UN system where there's been more wars than any time in history. We've had Vietnam and Korea to deal with. We have Iraq to deal with today, which is no different than any other UN system setup than we had in the last 50 years. So this border scenario that is being thrown on us, according to the Associated Press, is designed to be about a created crisis, in my thoughts. Quote, several Al-Qaeda leaders believe operatives can pay their way into the country through Mexico and also believe illegal entry is more advantageous than legal entry for operational security reasons, end quote, Loy said in written testimony to the Senate Intelligence Committee. James Loy, this is. And this is going back a sentence. Officials concede the 370-mile Arizona border is the most porous stretch in U.S.-Mexico line. Moreover, recent intelligence show that Al-Qaeda terrorists are likely to enter the country through the U.S.-Mexico border, according to James Loy, the Deputy Secretary of the Homeland Security Department. Who is James Loy? What is his operation and operative directions? What is he getting paid? And he is getting paid to do his job, to quote-unquote protect our country. From whom? Whom are the ones that are supposed to protect who in this situation that we live with today, America? I don't have too much time for this article. But you get the picture. It's an AP article. It'll probably be, it was out on February 21st. Minutemen to patrol Arizona border. And here's a comment by Dennis. Will this bring NATO troops? See? Others have the picture in place as well. And this is the ultimate problem that we have, listeners. The ultimate situation that we live with. Here I look in the paper. Today, the 23rd of February, eroding education hurts U.S. role, ex-senator says. Well, my goodness. Why is this so monumental a piece of information on this late date of 2005? The dumbing down process has been going on for decades. Former Senator John Glenn has boundless perspective as the first American to orbit Earth. He has seen the world from angles most can only imagine. While serving in the U.S. Senate for 24 years, Glenn has seen public policy created and implemented from both sides. Now Glenn said he sees America's place in the global economy threatened as our national education system erodes and our countries take the lead in high-tech research. Actually, other countries take the lead in high-tech research. So why is this monumental news to any of us that are educated? It's not. This is ridiculous. The dumbing down process is designed because we're supposed to be dumbed down while the rest of the world comes up. Here we see from the AP, dated February 2nd, the Utah House of Representatives voted Monday to urge Congress to withdraw from the United Nations, asserting the organization was a threat to American sovereignty. It was a victory for State Representative Don Bush, who for years has been trying to find approval for a non-binding resolution expressing Utah's will to the President and Congress. A year ago, his resolution was put on hold as President Bush unsuccessfully sought UN backing for an invasion of Iraq. This time the Utah House voted 42-33 in favor of, quote, freeing the nation from a large financial burden and retaining the nation's sovereignty to decide what is best for the nation and determine what steps it considers appropriate as the leader of the free world in full control of its armed forces and destiny, end quote. Well, I ask you one question. How do you get out of the United Nations when our U.S. Treasury has been converted to the International Monetary Fund? And more than likely, John F. Kennedy was assassinated for bypassing the Federal Reserve, introducing Treasury notes backed by real money. How can you get out of the United Nations when the money system is in control of the IMF? The Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. governor of the IMF. Every country has a governor of the IMF. Thanks for Darren's information and research. So our Secretary of Treasury is the U.S. governor of the IMF and receives no compensation from the U.S., the United States, which is a federal corporation. Go to Title 22 of the U.S. Code, Section 286. As you read down Section 286, you will find that the Secretary, alternate or consulate, receives no compensation from the United States, which means they're paid by the IMF. Anyway, this continues. House Speaker and gubernatorial candidate Marty Stevens, Republican Far West, voted with the majority to send the resolution to the Senate for a concurring vote. Some of Utah's conservative Republicans have long harbored fears that the United Nations was plotting to take over this country. Well, my God, how ridiculous a thought is that? Plotting to take over this country. The UN system is taking over the world. It's called global governance. The State Department's implementing it. And so once again, some of Utah's conservative Republicans have long harbored fears that the United Nations was plotting to take over this country, do away with freedom, create a world government, and levy a global tax. Well, listeners, that is right on the money. However, it's called Agenda 21 today. That's how far it is, 13 years into Agenda 21, and most good people have no clue about this. I received this from John Kaminsky, who's been a guest on this broadcast once. And this is in regards to the Oklahoma City bombing. And he says to me, "Are you clued in to any of this, or are you a gatekeeper?" He says, John Kaminsky questions whether I'm a gatekeeper or not, meaning keeping everybody in the dark about the truth, maybe. What's a gatekeeper? How do you define a gatekeeper? He says, "Are you clued into any of this, or are you a gatekeeper?" And the question is, what do you think of this story? And I'll give you the website where you can find it. "I never doubted the implications of government involvement in the Murrah Building bombing in Oklahoma City as a orchestrated inside job, but apparently I don't stand alone on this issue. A police officer, Terry Yankee, who was at the scene during the time of the bombing, also realized there was something more than suspicious from what he witnessed, contrary to reports made by the police and news media. He notified his wife, saying, 'There's something wrong with this picture. We're not being told.' Then had written reports that currently would have brought attention to the investigation. Had supposedly committed suicide soon after while en route to another state, according to the FBI. Odd. Why, if you were a happily married man with a police career, want to take your own life?" Read the article from the link below and decide for yourself. And the point is, most people that do commit suicide didn't really commit suicide when and if they're in a position of prominence. And this can be found on AmericanFreePress.net. That's AmericanFreePress.net, dated the 21st of February. And John Kaminsky is questioning whether I'm a gatekeeper or not. And I asked John Kaminsky on the air, does he know anything about the implementation of Agenda 21 and his 13 years of non-governmental implementation? Am I a gatekeeper? You've got to be joking. Gatekeeper? Am I on the inside? Am I on the other side, listeners? Am I the bad guy for telling you the truth and documenting everywhere I go instead of dealing with innuendos and skepticism? There's talk show hosts out there that talk about the police state and nothing but the police state. All that is one chapter of Agenda 21, Chapter 40. The sooner America realizes what Agenda 21 is, the sooner we're going to have a chance to make a difference. But until people are alerted to this, that's why the bumper sticker idea has got to come to force. We've got to build bumper stickers, make bumper stickers, and put them on our vehicles. What is Agenda 21? Very simple. What is Agenda 21? Why aren't you told about Agenda 21? That's another good title for a bumper sticker. Why haven't you been told about Agenda 21? That's all there is right now, listeners. If you do your research and you understand what's going on, you know that's all there is right now is Agenda 21. The President's State of the Union address this time, I could dissect it to Agenda 21. The President's State of the Union address before, I could dissect it to Agenda 21. To Bill Clinton, you could dissect it to Agenda 21. That's the implementation process that's going on right now, Agenda 21. The Rewilding of America, the Biodiversity Treaty, it's all on the website, AmericanExpose.com. It's all there. It can't be discounted. The move is underway. And the situation with our military in this coalition in Iraq, which will soon go to Iran, and who knows where it's going to end up, is nothing more than the Hegelian dialectic to turn the world against this country, so the whole world will want the UN to run the world. And yet, we in this country are the UN system. The State Department proves it to you. If you spend any time on the State Department website at all, you will see the proof of that with your own eyes. So here I see this title from this Oklahoman dated February 23rd, Eroding Education Hurts U.S. Role, ex-Senator says John Glenn. Well, John Glenn's an insider. John Glenn knows what globalization's all about. John Glenn's probably a high-membered Freemason. Maybe even over 32 degrees. And Utah lawmakers want to get us out of the United Nations. Well, blessings to them. Don't stop. Keep trying. But I keep implementing the fact that the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. governor of the IMF. Actually, the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury is the governor of the IMF of this country. Every country has a governor in the IMF, a governorship. Every country, a member of the United Nations, has a governor of the IMF. It'd be amazing to see one of their meetings sometime. But how can that happen? That's not going to happen. Not even close. John Kaminsky is telling me that I may be a gatekeeper. Why would he say a thing like that if he doesn't really know what's going on? Does he think that the tsunami might have been created? I think the thing to do right now is to tell you that the two books anyone should ever have, and John Kaminsky should have both of these books. Let me grab them. I said it before. Two books, Our Global Neighborhood, a timely work deserving of our full attention, according to Nelson Mandela. It's a report of the Commission on Global Governance from the United Nations System, written in 1995. And then the other book, Global Straitjacket. The United Nations Global Straitjacket by Joan Vion. Those two books, people, everybody should read them. Those are reference books, reference material for a lifetime. If you want to understand what's going on, listeners, most people don't. Most people want to discount what's going on. Yesterday afternoon, I'm sitting outside after doing my show for Melody Cedarstrom, the Discount Gold and Silver Trading Hour. Around 4:30, I'm sitting outside in the sun with the dogs, looking in the sky, watching these jets go back and forth, spraying something out of them that stays and lingers and turns into these cloud patterns. I'm watching the jets. I'm watching them. I'm watching the trails they're leaving. I'm watching this, listeners. Last night, yesterday afternoon, I'm watching it. And I call my friend Jack, and he doesn't even want to get up and look outside. Oh, that's in the jet fuel. That's part of the jet fuel. Yeah. Jack is very, he's a good man, but his remedies are very short-lived. And the fact of the matter is that something's being sprayed up there. We don't know what it is to any real documented pattern. But I'm watching it. And yet, we're being blamed for global warming. We're the biggest polluter in the world. Because we're the most successful country in the world. And we've had our success taken from us. We've had our business and industry outsourced to other countries. We have slave labor products coming back to this country from slave labor countries. We have slave laboring in America in the prison systems. There are some illegal immigrants, which are actually migrants under human rights treaties, that are in this country to create a crime so they can go to prison and have three square meals a day. And to send what little money they make in the federal prison system back to Mexico to their families. According to this article, Utah lawmakers want out of the United Nations. I want to finish this off. This looks like it's interesting. Some of Utah's conservative Republicans have long harbored fears that the United Nations was plotting to take over this country, do away with freedom, create a world government, and levy a global tax. Well, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. But our State Department's behind it. Our State Department's been infiltrated. Our State Department went communist in 1960, according to Joan Vion. Quote, "Are we out on the edge," end quote, asked House Majority Leader Greg Curtis, Republican of Sandy, who voted against the resolution. Quote, "I don't want to be said, well, he must not be a conservative, he must not be a true Republican if he doesn't support this," end quote. Curtis argued that for all its faults, the United Nations was a forum for resolving international problems. BS. It's not a forum for resolving international problems. It's a forum for creating international problems to take over the world. And the tsunami has no... I mean, the tsunami situation is so obvious. Quote, "We need to be at the table," he said. "I don't want to be viewed as unpatriotic because I do not support this resolution. I do not want to be viewed as something less than a true Republican because I don't support this resolution," end quote. Representative Scott Daniels, Democrat of Salt Lake City, said it drives his constituents crazy when the Utah legislature gets bogged down in issues that have nothing to do with state government. Quote, "A message I get from a lot of it, from them a lot is, what are you going to do up there? We have taxes to think about. We have important state issues. Why do I read that the legislator is discussing the United Nations or the war in Iraq or whether Jell-O should be our safe dessert? Why don't you stick to the issues that are really the state issues," end quote. In urging support for his resolution, Bush, a Korean veteran, now that must be a misnomer, cited a catalog of complaints against the United Nations. I don't see where... Oh, we're talking about Representative Don Bush, listeners. Don Bush. And he was a Korean War veteran. Cited a catalog of complaints against the United Nations. I'll wrap this up, and then we're going to get into the World Tax Tsunami by Joan Vion. Huh. Am I a gatekeeper? You've got to be joking, John Kaminsky. You aren't paying attention to what I do, fool.
opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on firstamendmentradio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at firstamendmentradio.com. Thank you for listening.
This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Are you a believer that is looking for a way to understand Bible prophecy as it pertains to historic as well as current events? Do you believe a one-world government is predicted in the Bible to occur in our day? Do you want to know what the Bible says about the Vatican's role in all of this? Are you one that believes no prophecy of the Bible is of any personal interpretation, as 2 Peter 1:20 declares? And are you also one that understands all the symbols in prophecy are defined accurately in all the books of the Bible? If so, then you are one that would be blessed by the truth provided broadcast. Please join us on Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for an adventure in Bible prophecy. See the prophecies of old come to light in today's current events as well as historic events in our not-so-distant past. You will find information in this broadcast that will benefit you and your family like never before. So please stop by Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on firstamendmentradio.com for the Truth Provided broadcast. For more information, stop by our website at www.remnantofgod.org.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
This article, Utah lawmakers want out of the United Nations. In urging support for his resolution, Bush, a Korea War veteran, cited a catalog of complaints against the United Nations. And get this, he blamed the UN for cutting the Korean War short when, quote, we could have won, for hindering U.S. victory in Vietnam, and for interfering in the Persian Gulf War when we weren't allowed to finish off Saddam Hussein and his army. He's basically correct in what he says. He's basically totally correct in what he says. So every state of the union needs to get out of the UN system. Every state of the union needs to argument this mess until we do something about it. But they need to understand the International Monetary Fund and the U.S. Treasury. They need to understand that Alan Greenspan is the alternate governor of the IMF, head of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan. So I covered in the earlier part of this hour-long broadcast, now that it is, eroding education hurts U.S. role, ex-senator says. That's John Glenn. Here I see, dated January 26, 2004, by Henry Lamb, U.N. influence in U.S. schools. Since its beginning, the United Nations Education, Science, and Cultural Organization has been trying to impose an international curriculum to prepare students for world government. More than 500 U.S. schools are now using the International Baccalaureate Program, and the Department of Education has just awarded a $1.2 million grant to expand the program in middle schools in Arizona, Massachusetts, and New York. In one of its first efforts in 1949, the UNESCO textbook titled Toward World Understanding, used to teach teachers what to teach, said, and I'm going rather briskly because I have so much and so little time, but that's probably going to change. Quote, as long as the child breathes, the poisoned air of nationalism, education in world mindlessness, can produce only rather precarious results. As we have pointed out, it is frequently the family that infects the child with extreme nationalism, end quote. In the 1960s, Dr. Robert Mueller, U.N. Deputy Secretary General, prepared a world core curriculum. Its first goal, quote, assisting the child in becoming an integrated individual who could deal with personal experience while seeing himself as a part of the greater whole. In other words, promote growth of the good, growth of the group idea, so that group good, group understanding, group interrelations, and group goodwill replace all limited self-centered objectives leading to group consensus, consciousness, end quote. And I'm going way too fast because I want to get to the meat of the broadcast. This article by Henry Lamb, we'll try and get it on the website. You can find it at unwatch.com, www.unwatch.com. UN influence in U.S. schools. And once again, what a ridiculous article here on page 5 of the Oklahoman today. Former Senator John Glenn has boundless perspectives as the first American astronaut in orbit. But now Glenn said he sees America's place in the global economy threatened as our national education system erodes and other countries take the lead in high-tech research. And there's much more to this article. Just don't have the time to do it. But the correlation between the U.N. system and our destruction of our schools today is very obvious to some and confusing to others because they don't do research. They don't read and understand. They don't do a lick of research, including people like John Kaminsky, who's called me a gatekeeper, or is asking, am I a gatekeeper? Certainly the Teriyaki situation was on my foremost thought patterns way back when, but Oklahoma City is just another Pearl Harbor. September 11, 2001 is another Pearl Harbor. 9-11, you've got to be joking. 9-11, 9-1-1? How insidious is this? I have much to cover. I'll try and get this on the website with Darren's support. 10 facts about global warming they don't want you to know. That is very, very important. I'll try and get to that tonight. But first, you've got to hear this, The World Tax Tsunami by Joan Vion from Davos, Switzerland. Apparently, it's January 2005. And a keynote speech at the opening of the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum. French President Jacques Chirac called on the world's most powerful business leaders to help raise $50 billion a year to meet the United Nations Millennium Goals agreed to in 2000. Citing the silent tsunamis of famine, infectious disease, violence, revolt, anarchy, and extremism, Chirac referred to the outpouring of help from around the world for countries hit by the tsunami. He said the only effective response is coordinated international aid. The huge outpouring of generosity from all corners of the world bears witness to the assertion that a planetary awareness, a sentiment of world citizenship, does exist, end quote. Couric went on to say, quote, development is both the greatest challenge and the greatest urgency of our time, end quote, and called for a partnership between, quote, market forces and solidarity, end quote. With the global GNP at 40T, the French president said the 50 billion, 40 in trillion, need to have extreme poverty and malnutrition by 2015. Provide universal primary education for children. Reduce by two-thirds the mortality of children under five. Have HIV/AIDS and have the number of people who do not have access to drinking water and sanitation is minimal. All these created Hegelian dialectics I've just covered here, listeners. To raise these monies, Couric offered some old, new, and revised ideas. They are, one, increase official aid for overseas development assistance, ODA, from its current 0.2% of GDP to the targeted 0.7%. Number two, France supports the British proposal by Gordon Brown to set up an international finance facility, which would float bonds in the international markets. All commitments by donor countries would go into the fund, and bonds would be floated based on the annual payments. Couric suggested that these loans would be reimbursed by, quote, new resources, international taxes or levies, or voluntary contributions such as a small levy or tax of apparently $1 on the 3 billion plane tickets sold each year worldwide, and a levy on the fuel used by air and or sea transport. Number three, encourage large developed countries to set up coordinated tax incentives to stimulate and encourage private donations for development to help capture some of the $220 billion that Americans give in charitable donations. Because only 3% goes outside America, he felt some laws should be changed to capture some of those monies. Number four, a tax of 1 to 10,000 of a percent on international financial transactions, which total $3 trillion per day. Claiming this is not a Tobin tax, it looks like it to me, since the Tobin tax was a higher percentage on international currency transactions, and this is Joan Vion speaking. Number five, ask countries that, quote, maintain bank secrecy to partially compensate for the consequences of world tax evasion through a levy of flows of foreign capital in and out of their territory to help the poor, end quote. Number six, more corporations and financial organizations should set up foundations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to help the development of the world. With regard to overseas development assistance, and that's the end of number six, France and the UK have set a time schedule for how they are going to increase their contribution. They currently gave $7,253 million and $6,282 million, respectively. It should be noted that Bush doubled the ODA in 2002. He currently gave somewhere around 0.23% of our GDP, which totals $16.254 million. This money is used for debt relief, technical cooperation and emergency and disaster relief along with food aid. And where do you think that's coming from? The State Department does it. The State Department implements it. Listeners, look at the State Department website and you'll see right there how it's being done. New Zealand gives at least $165 million. With regard to the idea of more foundations, he probably does not know about the Rees Commission, which researched the early foundations set up by the Rockefellers, Mellons, Scruffs, Pews, and Carnegies. We're talking about Jacques Couric, President Jacques Couric of France. He doesn't understand about these foundations set up by the Rockefellers, Mellons, Pews, and Carnegies. Rees found that they were changing the whole fabric of society in America at taxpayer expense. Most of these foundations are responsible for the international thinking calling for world government that pervades the world today. 10 years ago, Joan Vion discovered the UN was going to float the idea of global taxation at the 1995 World Summit in Copenhagen, the World Social Summit in Copenhagen. Since then, I have followed it from the idea stage to the serious goal that it has become. From the UN to the IMF, World Bank to the G8, and now to the World Economic Forum. Joan has had a major problem with transferring her wealth to the poor. Once again, she says, I have a major problem with transferring my wealth to the poor. First, I believe it should be voluntary and not dictated. This constitutes socialism. Second, When I look at all the poor countries in Africa, many of them are members of the British Commonwealth, which means the Commonwealth outvotes us at the international level, since they have anywhere from 2 votes to 54 votes versus our 1 vote. Be it the United Nations, the World Bank, the World Trade, etc. Furthermore, many of the highly indebted poor countries, the HIPC, highly indebted poor countries, HIPC, that we are being asked to forgive their debt, are part of the Commonwealth. As Britain decolonized countries primarily in Africa and around the world between 1946 and 1989, they were given votes at the UN since they were not independent. Many of the HIPC Commonwealth countries are rich in gold, diamonds, copper, gold, and manganese. Lastly, who or which UN agency is going to verify that the money from these taxes are going to be used to accomplish the above goals? Americans had better decide what they are going to do about this, for the CEOs of the world are signing on to global taxation. Talk about the devastation of a tsunami by Joan Vion, and John Kaminsky wants to call me a gatekeeper because I'm not covering the quote-unquote suicide of Terry Yakey, who was probably a very, very courageous police officer that was murdered. But the Alfred P. Murrah building was just another mess to discount the militia in America, to discredit the militia in America, and to pass anti-terrorism legislation. It continues. It moves on. It keeps moving at us. It doesn't stop. If we don't increase our numbers, it's over. Does anybody care? You that listen care. But we have to increase our listeners. So we have to make bumper stickers, and we have to get them out to people. And we have to put sayings on these bumper stickers. What is Agenda 21? You, anyone out there, can make bumper stickers. Put them on your vehicles. Give them to people. Put them on places where they're going to be seen. You can buy rental of billboards and put up a big sign. What is Agenda 21? Punch in Agenda 21 on Google. This is so big and monstrous, and many of you are realizing that now, and you're starting to get active. But 2005 is going to be a monumental year. 2005 is going to give us a gigantic terrorist event, more than likely, to shut us up. More than likely. I'm sorry to say that. But as people awaken, they pull stunts. I mean, people were awakening to the UN system during the Second World War in Congress and the Senate, saying not to get into the UN system, and I have the congressional record behind me talking about it. And what do? They dropped 2 atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which were probably the only remaining cities standing in Japan, because we've been carpet bombing them for months with B-29s. And I see right here on the front page of the Daily Oklahoma, it's not the Daily anymore, it's called the Oklahoman. Right here, the Battle of Iwo Jima, 60 years later. Edmund Mann calls day atop mountain. Edmund Resonant, Winston Havenstreit, shows off the Purple Heart he received after the World War II Battle of Iwo Jima. Havenstreit was on the Japanese island when U.S. Marines raised the American flag atop Mount Shirabachi 60 years ago today. The point being that Japan didn't have to have those atomic bombs dropped on them. They did not have 25 million militia over there ready to defend their country. They were beaten. It was over. They did not have to drop those atomic bombs. The war was over, for all intents and purposes, with Japan after Guadalcanal in 1942. There was never a Japanese victory as soon as we won Guadalcanal. The spread of Japanese influence was over after Guadalcanal. We started taking back the islands, one after one after one, until we got to here to Iwo Jima, then Okinawa, which was the bloodiest battle of the Second World War in the Pacific theater. Yes, it was a theater because it is theater. War is theater created by bankers. The Federal Reserve banking establishment, which is a monster today. So right here, 60 years later, the Battle of Iwo Jima. And what are we involved in right now? Agenda 21. No mention of Agenda 21 in the Oklahoman. No mention of anything about Agenda 21 in the Oklahoman. It's the biggest secret in the world. And it's your responsibility to make it not a secret anymore. You, out there listening, can make bumper stickers. You can find printers to do this. We already have someone involved in wanting to do that as well. And we'll do it. One other thing before I have to leave. Here's a notice from Charles. I was the caller on Erskine's show last night. Erskine has a show on GCN. As a matter of fact, Erskine took my place on GCN, listeners. Of course, it was Saturday night, February 19th, and I didn't do Saturday night broadcast. But it's a late night show. Anyway, Erskine, overnight is what it's called, he had Frosty Wooldridge on. And listen to what this individual, Charles, says. I was listening to all this BS until I couldn't take it anymore. I called up and talked to Frosty. I asked him if he knew of who I was, and he said yes. I then proceeded to give the real reason we have all those illegals, and Erskine was real appreciative of the info, and then I mentioned your website and spelled it out, and Erskine made a good note of it for the public. I mentioned the UN and Agenda 21, and they seemed receptive. And I won't read any more because it's not appropriate, I don't think, to badmouth other networks. But I'm going to have my hours back, I can tell you that. Because there's just not enough time to do all this in 1 hour. And certainly I could have taken all 5 nights a week, but Melody needs to be there. She's my partner. Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I want that to be a long-time partnership. She has to have Monday night. Darren Weeks is the webmaster for AmericanExpose.com. He has to have 2 nights a week. He has to have 2 hours. He's good. He documents where he goes. And you can certainly see the documentation he produced last night in his 1 hour broadcast. Things will change, I'm sorry to say. Or happy to say, for our country. 10 facts about global warming they did not want you to know. Britain is 1 degree Celsius cooler now than it was at the time of the Doomsday Book. Number 2, Greenland got its name from the verdant pastures that attached the Norse settlers from Eric the Red in 986. They carried on their normal way of life based on cattle, grain, hay, and herring for 300 years until the Little Ice Age, when they were driven off by the encroaching ice and the Inuit took over. The ice and the Inuit are still there. 3, carbon dioxide is a minor greenhouse gas. In the atmosphere, there is over 100 times the concentration of water vapor, which is the dominant greenhouse gas. Number 4, without the greenhouse effect, there would be no life on Earth. Number 5, temperature measurements by satellite radio sound balloons and well-maintained rural surface stations in the West show no significant warming. Number 6, the only evidence of significant warming comes from mainly non-Western states that are probably ill-maintained and are contaminated by the urban heat island effect. And what about HAARP, I interject. Number 7, computer modules of the climate are worthless as they are based on many assumptions about interreactions between climate factors that are still unknown to science. They are generally unstable and chaotic, giving a wide variety of answers depending on the input assumptions. Number 8, the Kyoto Agreement would have a devastating effect on the world economy, but since carbon dioxide is a minor greenhouse gas, an undetectable effect on the climate. Number nine, the IPCC, that's the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, has been the main engine for promoting the global warming scare. It has become notorious for its corrupt practices of doctoring its reports and executive summaries after they have been approved by the participating scientists to conform to its political objectives. And number 10, the really big lie about man-made global warming is that almost all scientists accept it. More than 4,000 scientists from 106 countries, including 17 Nobel Prize winners, signed the Heidelberg Appeal in 1992, calling for a rational scientific approach to environmental problems. Many senior scientists have also supported the statement by Atmospheric Scientists on Greenhouse Warming, 1992, the Leipzig Declaration, 1997, and finally the Oregon Petition, 1998, which received the signatures of over 19,000 scientists. The really big lie about man-made global warming is that almost all scientists accept it, but they don't know the facts, and they're all getting paid to do their job. And that's the bottom line, listeners. We're being set up for a fall. We're being maneuvered into a mess. And I would suggest John Kaminsky pay attention to Agenda 21, which I'm sure he's never even heard of, and never done a lick of research into Agenda 21, because others have, including Tom DeWeese, who's done some good writing about it. Some people think he's on the other side. I don't care, as long as he's talking about Agenda 21 and educating others about it. I don't care if he's on the other side. He's getting the word out about Agenda 21 at this point in time, and that is the problem. Idiots out there don't even think about Agenda 21. They want to blame the 9/11 scenario on this and that. Baloney. It's just another Pearl Harbor. It's over and done with. It's history. Agenda 21's 13 years into operation. Sustainable communities are bad news. You're going to lose your cars. You're going to lose your homes. You're going to lose your ability to be prideful in what you have. Ultimately, that's the goal of Agenda 21. A complete reorientation of mankind. We're all going to have to change everywhere we live. We're going to live without electricity. We're going to live without appliances. We're going to live without air conditioning. Whatever it takes to get the word out about this is your responsibility. And John Kaminsky, I ask you, are you a gatekeeper for not understanding Agenda 21? Because if you did understand Agenda 21, you would completely change what you're writing about instead of 9/11, which is a total waste of time. You'll never get to the bottom of 9/11, just like you'll never get to the bottom of Pearl Harbor, period. Good night, listeners.
That's the sound of nearly 3 million American jobs being flushed down the toilet. What caused it? NAFTA. 10 years